The Strawberry Alarm Clock. The one where Jim Jim meets you too in London.
Oh, no. Jim Jim. Nice to meet you. Bye.
I'm one of your smallest in height fans.
Jim Jim meets you too in London.
FM 104.
It is FM4, it is the Strawberry Alarm Clock. I'm Jim Jim, and in October I flew to London to interview four local lads: Bono, Larry, Adam and The Edge. And over the next hour you're going to hear nearly everything we had to chat about. While I was waiting outside with my recorders, I turned them on so they'd be ready to go, and I was a little bit nervous, but I needn't have been, because when I walked in, Bono said this to me.
Bono, Jim Jim, nice to meet you, finally. How are you?
I'm one of your smallest in height fans.
Oh, well, feelings mutual.
But bigger in other respects.
Oh, well, we can get to that in the issue.
As far as your fanship, I meant.
So, get ready for a whole hour of U2, chat and music from U2 over the next hour. It's New Year's Day. It's the Strawberry Alarm Clock. It's Jim Jim here, and it's a U2 special. Dublin 7-4. It is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and I am with.
It's very early.
It's very early. Bono and Larry from local band U2.
Yes, indeed. At your service.
Good morning.
Actually, I'll get you to hold that in the middle. How are things?
Morning, Larry.
Morning, B. What'd you have for breakfast?
I was going to have some cornflakes, Larry. I do like that, but I do mind a porridge as it gets into the winter.
Yes. Oh, yeah, do you have honey on that?
No.
Raisins?
Oh, I have had raisins.
Would you have a mushed up banana, Larry?
I used to.
Yeah. Don't knock it, my son has mushed up banana and it's pretty good.
Yes.
I'd highly recommend it. Go back and try it again. Right, let's not go iTunes, because you've done that 100 times, I've been listening. Much more controversial topic. Cedarwood Road. Is it Glasnevin North?
Oh,
is it Ballymun? No. Is it Finglas? Because they're all claiming you.
This could get rough. This is get rough. I thought they were all trying to get out of the relationship. My dad, Brendan Robert Bob, worked in the post office.
Right.
And he said that Cedarwood Road is Ballymun postal code.
Yes.
There are others on Cedarwood Road who do not think so. They say it's Glasnevin North. But that's what he said, unless they've changed the postal district. That's what it is. Though I do love Glasnevin, and I went to school in the ink bottle there in Glasnevin and had romantic occasions in the botanical gardens. I also, as a young man, kicked the ball over the railings into the Talca River.
Yeah.
In order to not go back to class. And it was only years later I realised the headmaster actually was into this. And so he kind of encouraged the game to get a little exciting. And he would then follow us down the river to help us find the ball.
There's a story from Cedarwood Road, and it's from one of your neighbours, Mr. Leonard. And this album's all about you guys from the early days. 17, the band starting, right? So...
Can't wait till we get to Harmanstown Avenue.
Well, is that your road?
Yeah, well, yeah, and then they changed it to Rosemount Avenue. But yeah, no, it's okay. We can come back and do
that. Be a B-side.
That sounds
So, he sees you in Phibsborough, and he knows you, and he says, Paul, as you were on then,
mm-hmm.
would you like a lift home? So he gives you a lift home, and you're raving on about this band you're starting. Do you remember this at all?
Keep going.
And he says, let me tell you now, Paul, what you need to do is forget about that music malarkey. And concentrate on your studies and do music. He was in a three-piece himself, plays keyboards.
That's
do it at the weekends.
Right.
Bit of holiday
right.
money. Bit of holiday money. It's good for that. And you're going, no, Mr. Lennon, I really think there's a buzz around the band. Things are going well. And he said, no, what you need to do is do it as a hobby and forget that notions. And his version of events is you got out of the car in Cedarwood Road with your head spinning. So my question is, this album's all about your... You remember that, by the way, first.
Yes, he's a very fine musician, and he was probably giving me very, very good advice. But as is obvious, I've been very good at avoiding it.
Well, Adam said that you took his advice. you didn't bother with the old music career at all.
I think he did take Mr. Leonard's advice.
I think it's great for a bit of holiday money.
Oh. Yeah, you can sort that out later on. This is like Mr. and Mrs.
Ever. Ever. It's on the
form. But my question is, so you're at this album's about you guys as young kids, right? And then your Songs of Experience will be about you guys now. What about the What If album? If you'd taken his advice, where would Larry be, first of all?
Now, I think I'd be in purchasing.
Purchasing?
Yes.
Motorcycles?
Just purchasing.
Okay.
Purchasing for companies. If you wanted a bit of furniture, I'd purchase that for you.
Purchase.
If you wanted a flight, I'd purchase a flight for you.
Okay.
You want to be a middleman?
I think
there's no middle ground about you at all.
No, but look.
But the middleman. Oh, this
we
is.
We are now thinking.
This is aspirational.
This is aspirational. The idea middleman. That I would be and in the era of the interweb. Right. It would be a very successful business.
You're Amazon.
I
you're the Liffy.
Amazon.
That's it.
It wouldn't have been Amazon. It would have been Liffy.com with CEO Larry Mullen.
It would have been. What about yourself, Bono? If you'd listened to him and you hadn't done music, take that out of the equation.
Sales. I come from a long line of travelling salespeople on my mother's side.
Okay.
He's selling. I'm buying.
The Rankins. As what would I be selling? Ooh, I don't know. I would probably, I think I sell songs now.
You do?
Ideas. And I probably would be a writer, would be the way I would sell
Okay.
them.
Okay.
Like a journalist.
Okay.
Did you just go, whoa.
Ideas.
It's a hard task being a journalist at the moment because no one will pay you.
Mm.
It's sort of like music. We have been disintermediated.
For now.
That's a big word, isn't it, for the morning?
It is pretty good, yeah.
Just woke up with that.
U2 songs. There's some amazing songs in this album. When you're writing these songs and you're trying to get them to come together, like if you think of U2 songs as a big city, there's a few skyscrapers there that you're trying to compete with yourself. When you get a good one, like Every Breaking Wave, do you get that feeling? Oh, Jesus, here's a good. Another one has arrived. Or are they, does it take
sometimes time? Sometimes they are great gifts, like a song like One or whatever. Elevation came really quickly. In a little while came in about the length of time it takes to play it. Sometimes then you have to work on them. Where the Streets Have No Name. And actually, Every Breaking Wave had lots of incarnations. We couldn't quite get it right. We knew we had something very special. We couldn't find, we couldn't crack the code on it until the very last minute, the very last couple of months.
And the Jules Holland version, it's improving every time. It's growing, isn't it?
We're getting used to it, Jim.
Yeah.
You're on the radio. You understand that.
I hear you, man.
It repeats and repeats. And you go, ooh, that's really,
yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah.
I didn't like it before. That's the story. We have to deal with that on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar, really. Although I have to do it every single day, a brand new show for 4 hours.
That's
hard. You guys do 2 hours, every few years. Yeah.
And you do very well.
I've heard that before.
Jim meets you too in London.
FM 104.
Dublin's FM4, it is the Strawberry Alarm Clock. It's Jim here. It's our U2 special on New Year's Day. Here is some more chat with Bono and Larry from U2. Elvis on the cover. Tell us about the photograph. How did you convince him to do it? Do you do many, experimental shoots like this? I know this was it came from an experiment and then became the cover.
Yeah.
Did he want to be on an album cover? Did the other U2 children want to be on covers eventually?
No, he had no idea what the experiment was. None of us really did. It was an idea. It was Bono had the idea. Let's try this out. And there were a lot of other ideas as well. So it'd been floating around. Bono had done some photographs with both his sons.
Okay, right. We weren't good enough.
Well,
we were deemed our family. Lost out. Weren't good enough.
No, well, the problem was
he looked better with his kid
because
off.
Because Bono basically had moved to the south side. He got eliminated really in the end. So because I stayed on the
you
north
kept it
side,
real.
Yes.
Let me ask you this: what would you two be like if you'd been Southsiders? I know three of you now are, but what if you'd...
Strung out on a... strung out on a pint of harp, to be honest with you. It'd all have been down there in the golf club. You know, it's the only thing you can be fired from. It's the only thing you can be fired from in U2 is the golf. And we agreed to that. There was no problem with any other... there's been a lot of other... sins, but actually, you know, we're out there on the ninth hole. That's against the law.
To be a Southsider?
No, playing golf. I'm now in the South Side, but I actually snuck in through Bray.
Yeah.
Which is
the North Side, of course.
We consider Bray to be a little bit of the North Side on the South Side.
Okay.
It's an amazing spot.
Yeah.
Lived in the Martello Tower, and this part of me still does.
Tell me about the tour. You're going to do this tour. It's going to be the first time potentially indoors in Dublin since 1989, the New Year's Eve show? Is that the first indoor U2 show since then?
If we can fit it in, the O2.
Do they have a venue available?
If we can fit it in, that's the trick we're trying to find out. It's very hard to fit Larry's ego in. It's gigantic.
I said to the other two earlier on that I feel like there might be a big acoustic set in this one. Like, I know you always do, but there might be piano and there might be violins. Jeez.
Yeah. You?
Is that a good idea that you'd like to use?
Well, I think
where
it's...
Where do you come up
with... Listen to the album.
Yes, exactly. I think it's clear that part of the whole thing we went through on this one was, you know, what's the new challenge? What can we do that we haven't done before? And we thought about, because our songs come out of improvisation, blah, blah, blah. And we thought, well, why don't we just try and write songs that might just stand up on their own? You know, we could sing them a cappella, you could play them on a piano or an acoustic guitar or like a busker. That was kind of one of the things behind them. Not all the songs, but so now having proved that point, we're kind of into playing them in that really raw, stripped down way. So you are correct to say we are thinking about some acoustic part, but we also have other things.
What are the other things?
Sleeve, which are not so predictable.
Will the other thing be that the second album, the other side of the things, experience album, that arrives maybe during the tour, and the tour then gets into a bigger.
That would be certainly
you've been seeing, you know, one of those, you know.
Crystal balls.
Yeah.
Is that, am I getting close?
You're getting really close.
You've been seeing
comfortable, really,
Crystal Ballroom.
It?
Yeah, but the idea would be to come out during the tour, and it's a very different experience, songs of experience, and we would like to think that that will give an extra dimension to the show.
Larry, have you ever hit yourself in the face with your drumsticks?
Yes, I have.
On many occasions?
On a few occasions. I hit myself in the eye on the last tour, which was terribly sore. I've also hit myself on one hand hitting the other. Drumsticks move at between 45 and 55 miles an hour. It hurts.
On stage injuries, you hurt yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, Larry throwing them at me. I still have one right in the sphincter.
If Larry is Clint Eastwood, and I told you you were Clint Eastwood, not that you're old, but you're like the cool dude. Like, if Larry's Clint Eastwood, I told him that before, and he's a bit offended. Who are you?
Robin Williams.
Yes,
Nano.
That's who I was going to say.
Yes.
Emotional guy, funny guy, looks a bit like you.
Deeply disturbed.
God love him.
I knew him.
Did you?
Yeah. He used to swap roles at parties. He'd be Bono, I'd be Robin.
Because with the Shades, he'd be very similar, wouldn't he?
Very funny, very good at it. Much better at being Bono than I was.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy.
Beautiful dude. Very vulnerable, very, very sweet. And, you know, comedians are the top of the food chain in the end. You know, they walk out on stage in front of thousands without even a tambourine or a guitar. And they have the finest sort of mechanism in terms of brain and synapses and all of that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'll take him.
Cool. Bono, I see you in the pub sometimes, and you leave me alone, which is great. But people don't. People come over to you and get pictures, and you're very nice to everybody. Dubliners can be... they keep you grounded, can they?
I know, but
no, they're a tough crowd. Dublin is a tough crowd.
We are.
Yeah, we are. How do you stay so nice? Because I've never seen you turn anyone down for a photograph or an autograph or anything like that. How do you stay...
the you know, generally don't like to take photographs in restaurants or in pubs. I usually ask people to wait to finish or come outside or things like that, because it's very annoying on your mates and other people in the pub then suddenly want one, which is the issue. But I am very consciously aware of the fact that a lot of these people who travel distances to come say hello are in fact paying my wages. And so I try to be very, you know, I try to remind myself of that, and I'm grateful to them for the life that we lead, which is the life of Riley.
The song you wish you'd written.
Oh,
Larry,
Take Me to Church.
Yeah.
So I'll concur with that. That's a miracle of a song, that is. And, you know, I heard that song. I had no idea it was written by a bloke from Bray or Greystones, wherever he's from.
Greystones, yeah.
And I had no idea, but I knew what it was, and it was a blessing. And I hear he's a very cool dude.
He is. He's very cool. He was in with us, and his voice is just the power. It's insane. So
yes, it is.
He's going places, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
The kid's a star. The kid's a star.
He's going to give you a run for his money, everyone says.
Great. So look forward to it. My lover's
got... Dublin's F104. It is the Strawberry Alarm Clock. It's Jim here. This is a U2 hour-long special. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We'll leave you now with a quick fire round from the Giddy Geese That Wear Bono and Larry. And thanks to them for letting us interview them this year. It's been great. And we'll talk to you soon on the Strawberry Alarm Clock on F104. Have you ever bought a U2 bootleg?
I've never bought one, been given them. I've never bought
Edge
one.
Edge bought since spent 600 quid on loads.
But I just want to point something out about the Edge. He has dressed up as the Edge on Halloween.
Yeah.
And walked around with his Gibson Explorer Venice Beach. That's a fact. So you're not talking about somebody who's really with us on any
right
level that you might recognise as human. As you know, he's from the future and all that.
Yeah, obviously. Stranger's request from a fan.
I don't know if I can say that on radio.
Adapted.
Come visit my girlfriend.
Okay, Bono.
Found a girl in the bushes who had come to die.
Okay.
Good morning!
What?
And it's not funny.
No,
it's not funny, but we thought it was a joke, because this girl said, she was outside, and Ali was like, for goodness sakes, what's going on here? Get out of the bushes. And she said, but I'm dying, and I just wanted to do this. And I'm like, get out, you know, all this. And in the end, managed to give her a hug and a squeeze and say, look, if you got a bit of a flu or something, you know, everyone needs a hug. And then her family came to visit after, and that was, had another angel arrived, an actual person thought they were an angel, and she said she had a message from Iran. She was an angel from Iran, and so I took the message, and I can't tell you what it is, because it's about the end of the world, and it's it could happen on your program.
Are you happy you asked that question?
I'm trying to think of how to finish this on a high note. No, I'm glad. It's a great answer. But it's just like, any jokes?
Four North Side is leave a bar. Could happen.
Perfect.
Bono, Larry, thank you very much for your time, and best luck with the album and the tour, which I've pretty much devised for you. And please come in and perform for us one day or something. Thank you very much. Jim meets you too in London. FM 104.